Well, blessings to you all this morning again. It's been good to be here. And I guess I want to just thank you all for this past week, for the support and blessing you've been to our family. And feel very unworthy of all that and most everybody showing up there and being there for us as a family, we appreciated that very much. This morning, I was thinking a little bit of what to share the last week before we went up there, and maybe a building or, you know, our, you know, you go to a funeral and, you know, you put a body in the grave and the part that you talk to, the soul, is no more there. And if you look, I was looking before the funeral, I was looking at, you know, the Bible talks about the outward man and the inward man. And it also talks about our bodies being a temple. And how does that, you know, we sing the song, the children sometimes sing the song, building up the temple of the Lord. When we're building up the temple of the Lord, what are we doing? And I was just kind of meditating on some of those things. And you look at the example of when they actually built the temple in the Old Testament. You know, there was a lot of work going on. There was a lot of things happening when they built the temple. When Solomon built the temple, David was going to build. I think David had a heart to build it, but the Lord told me that it's not for him. I think he was a kind of a man that did a lot of preparations. But it was for, then Solomon came along and he built the temple. And if you look at the amount of work and labor that was put into that and the material that they used, take notice of that. The material, remember that. I'm not going to read that, but we know the gold and the fir trees and all the things that they use good material. And you take that into the spiritual, in our spiritual lives. If we're going to build, if our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, we want to use good material. And what is that? What are those materials? What are some materials that we would use to build the temple of the Lord? Why don't we'll just open in word of prayer and then we'll kind of get into this. Thank you, Lord, again this morning for this opportunity that we have to look into your word. Thank you that you can give us direction as we walk by faith. Lord, we know that each one of us has needs in our lives, but Lord, we thank you that you are a gracious, merciful God that loves to give to your children that which we need. And Lord, just open our eyes and our hearts that we can understand our own need and then realize that you are the one that is also has all the sufficient supplies for us. We just pray for your Holy Spirit to guide and teach us as we look into your word. Thank you for your word again this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I had thought of a couple different titles, Building the Temple of the Lord, or another one was The Inner Man, or Soul Growth, or whatever you want to call it. I mean, what does, you know, you look at a dead body, or you go to a funeral, you know, they don't need anything anymore. But we're here, you know, we have we have needs, physical needs. So we want to look at the outward, what the Bible calls the outward man and the inward man. The outward man's needs are very obvious to us. But the inward man's needs, are they as obvious as the outward man needs to us? I'm going to read just a couple of verses there in 1 Kings 6, what God told Solomon. And Solomon was the one that built the temple. He told Solomon, said, "Concerning this house which thou art in building, if thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgments and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then I will perform my word with thee, which I spake unto David thy father. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel." And that's the same is true for us. If we walk in his statutes and his commandments, he's going to do that which he promised in his word. He's going to give us what we need. So for a scripture, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4. Second Corinthians 4 is a kind of very familiar chapter here. I'm going to read from verse 6. I'm going to jump in at verse 6. It says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." I thought of bringing, I think there's another translation where it talks about we have these jars in earthen vessels. I thought of bringing some jars along, one that's decorated very well on the outside and another one that has something valuable on the inside. And just try to give a little bit of an illustration of there's more in our life than just taking care of our body, our physical body. There's the spiritual side. I guess what I want to impress is the importance of feeding our spiritual body. I mean, we can take care of our physical body, and if we neglect the spiritual side of us, we've missed it. When we come to the time when God calls us home, and we didn't feed our spiritual body. If there was no life there, there's nothing there. There's life is vain. Life is vain. But as I was saying, I was thinking of bringing, vessels or maybe some jars along, and if a jar just looks nice on the outside, and it has no life inside, it's kind of useless. I mean, I don't know if you get what I'm saying, but it's. We have something that nothing else living has, and that is a soul that never dies, a soul that never goes. It's always going to be somewhere. So there's three things. There's the life, the soul life, the soul nourishment, and the soul exercise. Now I'm not going to do justice to it, but first, let's look I'll read the rest of this chapter, but we'll want to look at the our physical side of our life, you know, how we take care of it, and then the spiritual side, how we, and a lot of it goes back and forth. I mean, we can, I think when we understand the one, we look at the one, and then we can look at the other one and kind of understand it a little bit. But here it says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. If we know that we are earthen vessels, but we have this treasure in us that only comes from God, then it's, you know, then it gives us a purpose in life. How do we use good material? We want to use good material to basically to build, to build this treasure that we have. Then in verse 8 it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. You know, these verses, to me, are very powerful, because even in the midst of very difficult situations, when there's that, I guess maybe the first thing I need to say is that if the life of Christ is not in us, then we need to be born again first, and then starts the life. Then we can build on that. The temples, you know, it starts to make sense. Just like when a baby is born, we don't do anything with the baby until after it's born. You know, we clothe it, we feed it, and we take care of it. And same way when somebody is, when we get born again, then we start, you know, what is some of the most important things that a person needs when they're born again? God's word and his direction. But then all these, you know, when these difficulties come along, as it says here, you know, we are persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. You know, that seed that God put in each one of us when we got born again, that life under pressure, under difficulties, will continue. If we're just being fed, if we're just being nourished on the outside, if our physical body is just being nourished and we just take care of the physical body and there's no spiritual connection with God, then it's when it comes to this point where persecution, then we're cast down and we don't get up. But when there's that spiritual connection, you know, it just, I mean, if you look at history, persecution always seems to make the Christian grow. I don't know, God has ordained it that way. And that's the only reason it works that way. Verse 11 says, For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. The life of Jesus coming forth out of our physical bodies. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound or contribute to the glory of God. Then he says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our light affliction. Here he calls it just a light affliction. But I, this is kind of where I, this verse 16, it says, it has the inward, it mentions the inward man and the outward man. And we see that in our life. I mean, if you look at a young child, I mean, they are very, you know, a healthy child, you know, they're flourishing and, you know, it's good to, you know, we can see how the physical life works. But then you go to an older person that is getting ready to die, you see how the physical body is it's very good to look at some of those things sometimes, you know. And this verse really comes real to me when I see that, you know. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed. You know, the inward man should be coming strong. I mean, there's testimonies of, I mean, there's things that the Lord did in Grandma's heart the last days. I mean, we rejoice in that. And, you know, that's my prayer and my desire, you know, as I grow older, that my hair, you know, my hair get white and my skin starts wrinkling. Though the outward man perish, the inward man gets stronger and stronger. It doesn't get weaker. And the only reason that can be is because it's of God. I mean, it says it right here, you know. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's from God. It's not from ourselves. There's a quote here. It says, man has a duality of nature, the outward and the inward. The decayableness of one of the natures, our outward man perishes. This is constantly going on. The outward, I'm not sure. I mean, so here, this commentator says it's continually going on, but, you know, right when a baby, it almost seems like it's not at that point where it's decaying yet. It's very healthy and growing. But when they get older, you know, it starts, the outward body starts decaying. The constant growth of the inner nature, the reward man is renewed day by day. Soul growth implies three things: soul life. So here we have life. You know, life comes from God. Even our physical life, I mean, comes from God. Dead plants and dead, it is just a quote, it says, dead plants and dead animals can no more grow than stones. You know, if there's no life in it, it can't grow. The inner man, unrenewed, is morally dead. You know, there has to be a beginning. There has to be a start. That's what we call born again. You know, when you have that, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and then that life, that inner connection, that inner soul can start to connect and grow. You know, as I was, what are some things, you know, that we can, you know, things that make us grow spiritually. I mean, I wouldn't mind hearing some of your thoughts on that. What are some things that make us grow spiritually? First, there's a life. There has to be a life. First, when there's a baby, when a baby is born, that's the beginning. There has to be a, and then the second part is nourishment. A baby will not last long without nourishment. And the same is true in the spiritual side. When A person that gets born again, if they don't get nourishment, will soon die. I mean, it just kind of deteriorates. Here it says, soul nourishment. No life can live upon itself. The appropriation of outward elements is essential to sustenance and growth. Moral and spiritual truths are the nutrient of souls. Moral and spiritual truths. We can do it for each other, some. And, you know, when a baby gets born, one of the things, all its life that it gets from its mother. It's kind of, you know, we pump it into it. But the day comes, or I hope it does, we never would. How many of you would like to see a baby that's 10 years old and you're still giving it milk? And, you know, as soon as we can, you know, when they start, you know, they grow teeth, and as soon as we can, you know, we learn them how to feed themselves. Well, sometimes it gets a little messy, you know, they don't get everything. And we as Christians sometimes, you know, maybe it gets a little messy when we start, you know, when we get born again and we don't get everything. Some of it falls on the floor. You didn't get it all, but hey, we at least got enough to grow, right? That's the way the baby, you know, would, you know, you teach it how, and we don't think it's strange when it can eat himself. And the same way spiritually, you know, when we need to learn, that's the whole goal, is to learn how to eat and dine on the Spirit and the Word of God. Nourishment, that's what nourishes our soul. I don't hear it much around here, but I've, you know, you hear it over the years sometimes. And when people say that I'm bored, now I'm not, I don't know what you want to, depends what you're doing, you know. If you're doing a project, you need something to do, yeah, and you, hey, I need something to do. But if it's life in general, I think a Christian shouldn't be bored. You know what I mean? They're looking, instead of looking to get something, they're looking to give something. You know, that's the life of a Christian is to, you know, instead of just taking, its giving. Because there's a verse, I had it written down here, where it says, he that watereth also shall be watered himself. That's in the Proverbs. It says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered himself. You know, if you look at the physical side of how we stay alive, you know, if you, a baby, you know, we feed it, and it grows, and then you look at the spiritual side, it's a little different. You know, a baby, if all it does is always just eat himself, and you know, as they grow up, then, you know, they don't exercise. That's the next thing in line. You know, when that, you know, there's, it's the life, and then it's the nutrition, and then it's the exercise. If they don't exercise, what happens? I mean, that's not good either. There's things that happen in our life if we don't exercise. Soul exercise. All life seems to require exercise. Even the production of the vegetable world cannot grow without it. Though they cannot move themselves, they are moved by the breezes of heaven. Animal life requires it, and the soul must have it in order to grow. It must exercise itself unto godliness. And it's a little verse that says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. It says even vegetables, you know, sometimes in greenhouses, you know, you put plants in your greenhouse where there's no wind, and then you put them out in the elements, they almost get shocked sometimes, because that's the real world. You know, we can come to church and we can exhort one another, encourage one another, but when we go outside in the real world, it can almost be a shock sometimes. But if we have that, if we learn to use the right nutrients, the right materials to build the temple, to exercise that inner man, then that's going to, we get into the high wind area, we're going to feel it, but it's not going to blow us away. There's other verses in where it talks about the inward man. I'm just going to read some verses in Psalms 51:6. It says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts. That is our inner man needs to be nourished. First there's a life, and then there's the nourishment, and then there's the exercise. Even Job, this was in Job, where God was talking to Job and was asking him questions. He says, who hath made wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding in the heart? Only God can do that. You know, man can have a lot of good ideas, but wisdom and understanding only comes from God. And God was asking Job that. He says, who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding to the heart? As God ministers to our soul, we can grow in His ways. Paul wrote in Romans, it says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Here's another one in Proverbs. It says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Our spirit knows, or God can reveal it. He can reveal our needs through His Spirit. And then in Ephesians says that He would grant, this is in Ephesians chapter 3, it says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. According to the power that worketh in us. You know, that feeding our inner soul, our inner man, is just as important as feeding our bodies. Because if we don't, we die physically, we die spiritually. Because Jesus said, what did He say about my word is life, is bread? It says, labor not for the bread that perishes, but for that which I'm using my own words, that which is, you know, is actually real life. You know, there's things that, I don't know what you do personally. You know, there's things that we can all do personally that feed, that help us, that help our temple to grow, our inner man to grow. And singing is one of those that, you know, as we sing, you know, it can lift up our spirits. It can, you know, that ministers to our soul. And also, sometimes, you know, when we talk to one another, you know, we can say, you know, God bless you for what you did there. You know, those things also minister. We can minister one to another. That actually also helps our, you know, it grows our inner man. But then there's sometimes, you know, people say things that hurt us, and they didn't even realize it. And I wanted us to look at that as maybe the wind. You know, when you take a plant and you take it out of the greenhouse and you put it out in the wind, hey, God sends wind along to, you know what that does? You know, that strengthens, you know, it puts roots down. You know, a plant, I mean, we've seen you know, in the summertime, sometimes when you get this strong wind and, you know, you go out in the garden and what, half of the garden plants are laying almost on their side. But, you know, the sun comes out and they kind of start standing and back up again. And that's the way it should be for us, you know, when things get really tough, you know, the wind blows us, it almost seems like, what's the use going on? I mean, you look at a garden, it's almost like, is it even going to, I don't think it's going to grow again. But here the sun comes out again, and it stands back up again. You know, that's, if we have that life within us, and then the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, starts to shine, as it says there in Corinthians, it has shine in our hearts. If that continues to go on in our life, in our spiritual life, then that wind, that it actually makes us stronger. And that's exactly what it does, you know, in the plant world. You know, when the sun came out, their roots were still intact. So it just, as long as there's no, you know, there's, if something happens that you die, if the roots are no longer intact, but we have that life of Christ in us, I mean, we'd go to be with the Lord. I put a verse down here where, I mean, the Pharisees, the Lord had kind of rebuked them and says, you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. If we just take care of the outward man and the inward man is full of wickedness. Yeah, he rebuked them for that. Then in 1 Corinthians, where it talks of know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And then it says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Remember the time when Jesus was told them that, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. He was talking of his own body. He wasn't talking of the temple. And they didn't understand it. They kind of mocked him for it. But he was talking of his own temple, of his own body. And then here in Corinthians, where he talks about, know ye not that ye are the temple. our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the things that we do to build that temple is one of the most important things that we can do in life. I mean, I loved the song, the one song that was going through my mind that we used to sing more years ago, is we bring sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. You know, there's things that, you know, the things that we do for the Lord, the sacrifices that we make for the Lord Jesus Christ, those are the ones that build the temple of the Lord. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Is it prospering? Is my, like it says here in Corinthians, I mean, to me, it's just a challenge. My inward man, the inward man, is it growing, or is the outward just decaying and there's nothing left to, if there's no inward renewing and changing, then there's, yeah, then when the outward is decaying, then everything is gone. Behold, thou desirest truth, David said, in the inward parts, in the hidden parts. That's where that's where the Lord wants to work in our lives. This body itself isn't worth anything. But we nourish and we feed it. And, you know, we know what it takes to keep it going, right? But do we know what it takes to keep our spiritual lives going? Do we? It's just a question, I guess. Do I know? Do I know what it takes to keep my spiritual life going? I mean, we can so easily get, there's songs, you know, the song that we sang this morning about, I forget exactly how it said, but basically that the earth wouldn't become, the things of earth would not become a part of me. You know, if the things of this earth, if there's no spiritual life, if we just follow after the things that are more the fleshly, the physical side, that feeds the physical side, well, the physical side just keeps getting stronger. You know, and for a time, until the age actually takes it down. For a time, but for the spiritual side, you know, if we feed that, then that grows. You know, we've all heard the saying, what we feed grows and what we starve dies. What we feed grows and what we starve dies. And there's probably more that could be said on exercise. I mean, how do you, you know, when we exercise in the spiritual, what does that look like? Because, see, our physical bodies take life. It has to have life, and it has to have nourishment, and it has to have exercise. And how does exercise look in our spiritual lives? It can be sharing with our neighbor. It can be, I mean, what do you think? I'm open for suggestions. What are some things that we can use for exercise? I mean, there's a where it says singing in our hearts. It doesn't even have to be aloud, but I think that's in Colossians, making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. That's exercising. That's exercising our. Yeah, anybody have any thoughts they want to share right now? I mean, what is exercise? What do you think of as exercise?
Memorization, Bible memory.
Bible memory? Yeah.
One thing about exercise is normally
Amen. There's different things that we can do. You know, when you do that, you're thinking of, you know, when you go and share with someone else, you're not sharing what, you're sharing something about the Lord. You're not sharing about yourself. And what that does is it should be feeding your soul. As it says, as Proverbs says, he that waters shall be watered himself. It comes back to you. But we don't do it to get, we do it to give, right? It just, that's the way it works, that's the way God intended it. So yeah, that's about all I had for that. I know there was a lot more that could be said, but I guess I wanted to just encourage us to exercise. I mean, you know what Paul also mentioned, there's a verse where it talks about bodily exercise profiteth little. It does a little bit. Like Henry was saying, you know, exercise, going out of your comfort zone. My physical body is, you know, I don't work as hard as I used to. And occasionally, I go out of my comfort zone, I do push-ups. And I've been doing some here the last while. I can tell I can do more, you know, as the more I do, the more I can. And the spiritual side, I think, should work the same way. You know, the more we do, the stronger we get. You know, not in ourselves. It's Christ working in us. He's the one that as we exercise, then we become stronger in Him. And you know, the more I look away from myself and seek to bless others, that's I think those are exercises that we can. Benefit from. And may the Lord encourage each one of you, and through this next week, as you know early in the morning when you get up, you know, you stretch your physical body, and hallelujah, praise God, you know, this is another day we can rejoice in the Lord and be glad in Him. You know sometimes you don't have to speak it, sometimes it does help. I mean, David said, what's the verse that the Amish would say a lot in German? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Some of you might be able to say it in German. Maybe I could too if I got started on it. But if you look at it, David was almost talking to himself. Nothing wrong with that. You're not retarded if you talk to yourself in the morning when you get up and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and or just in your heart, you know. Exercise yourself. That's the way we grow, going out of our comfort zone. Thank you for that. I like that one. So may the Lord help each one of you to grow in grace and in wisdom and knowledge with Him this coming week. God bless you.